From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of August, 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And we'll look at the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. We'll hear from Jim Angel today, too. He's at the Illinois State Water Survey and will help us look at what's been happening in the weather forecast for the Midwest. And along the way today, we'll hear from the USDA Secretary of Agriculture about the final 14 counties in the state of Illinois that were declared a disaster area this week. And it all happens on the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago on a Friday afternoon, futures finished the day mostly higher. The September contract for the soft red winter wheat up 12 and three quarters at $8.74.5. December at $8.94.5, up 12 and three quarters. In July of next year, $8.42.5, up 9 and three quarters. July hard red in Kansas City at $8.50, up 6.5 cents for the day. The corn pit now, September futures, a settlement price actually in $7.98.5, up three quarters. December at $8.07.25, that's up down a quarter, a settlement price there. March futures at $8.07.75, a half higher in the May contract at $8.50 on its settlement unchanged. July corn, $7.87.75, down a penny and a quarter. September at $6.75.75, down one quarter of a cent. December of 2013 at $6.35.75, two and three quarters lower. Corn, bean pit was higher on the afternoon. September contract close here, 1671.5, up 15 and a quarter. November at 1646, up 20 and three quarters. And January soybeans at 1636 and three quarters, up 22 cents for the day. March contract, 1554, 19 and three quarters higher. The May at 1467, up 7 1/4. And November beans of next year at $12.83, up 6 cents for the day. Bean meal futures, $6.20 higher at $5.22.70, and bean oil at $53.18. That's 14 higher for the day. Live cattle futures finished the Octobers at $125.27.5, down 27.5 cents. September feeders at $142.20, 67.5 lower. In December, lean hogs today at $73.60, up 70 cents. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading at $95.98 a barrel, up 38 cents. Ethanol at $2.58.7, unchanged in the September. Natural gas at $2.72.6, that's 0.2 cents higher. And heating oil at $3.09.2, or diesel fuel down 3 cents for the day. Gold futures at $1,616.30 an ounce, up 20 cents. And the dollar now at 82.59, that's 0.23 higher for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. As it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, mostly clear skies. It'll be sunny, a high of 76 degrees on a northwest wind at about 9 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear. A low of 49, again a north wind at 5 to 7. And then Saturday, tomorrow, sunny skies, a high of 77 and a calm wind. Saturday night, partly cloudy and a low of 53. Sunday, mostly sunny and a high near 77 degrees. And then on Sunday evening, partly cloudy and 53. Mostly sunny on Monday and 78. Monday night, partly cloudy and 57. Tuesday, sunny and 81. Tuesday night, partly cloudy and 61. And on Wednesday, sunny skies and a high of 84 degrees. By the time we get to Wednesday evening, partly cloudy and 63. Thursday, partly sunny and a high near 84. We'll talk about the weather forecast in detail when we get to the bottom of the half hour. Jim Angel of the Illinois State Water Survey here, state climatologist, will take a look at what's been happening and tell us how this compares to recent years as a state climatologist, and when and if drought might look like it could be broken by rainfall here in the Midwest or not. That all happens when we get to the bottom of the half hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, is on the phone line to look at the futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the week as you have looked at it from your screen there and the vantage from Lafayette.
Well, it seemed like the trade went back to spreading, inter-commodity spreading, bull spreading to begin the week, corn-wheat spreading to begin the week, and ended the week with bean-corn spreading, wheat-corn spreading. So whenever they do this, and especially after a report week, I think the trade is trying to get more information before taking the next step as far as developing a trend. And it would make sense, given that the weather got a little wetter and that the jury's out as far as the mixed information about how much this is helping the bean crop. And I think it's helping in certain areas, not helping in many other areas. But the trade, I think, is in kind of a lull right now in a post-holiday, report time period here where, you know, we really didn't have a July 4th holiday at all because of the drought. So I think I got the sense from everybody that I talked to this past week, Todd, that it was just one of those weeks where everybody just wanted to take a break and let the market consolidate and wait for the pro farmer tour and wait for some early harvesting data to come through.
Kids are ready to head back to school and everybody decided to take the week off and just...
Exactly. A lot of vacations going on both in Chicago, and a lot of producers are on vacation. You know, a lot of producers head up to Canada this time of the year and spend a week fishing, and I think this is one of those years where they could not wait to get away.
It's better than looking at a crop that's not all that great.
Exactly, yeah. And so, you know, the probably the biggest feature fundamentally was that the week started out negative for the wheat. We lost our wheat on Friday after the report a week ago. We went below 850 in lead month wheat with Russia exporting and India exporting feed wheat and the market looking pretty sour. Well, we ended the week with the December and September wheat back up above 850. We got darn close to closing higher for the week within a dime, and we had an all-time new high made in England on London wheat, over $200 a ton over there in terms of euros. And so I think the wheat market really made probably the biggest shift from a negative leader to the downside to a probable positive leader to the upside.
Yeah, but if you get out to next year's wheat crop, that was kind of an ugly week because it was a big spike up there and then finished down on an outside week in the July contract of 2013.
No doubt about it. And that, I think that goes back to the rains that we've been receiving. I think the Chicago wheat in particular is really looking better and better as far as prospects for bigger acres. And you know, more solid acres, once it gets in the ground, there's going to be quite a bit of moisture out there. Probably the other biggest feature that I would note this week was the Gulf basis. We continue to see the corn lose, and it's really interesting to see that at one point in time, at the peak in Decatur for the cash basis, when Decatur and the Gulf were fighting each other for corn about two and a half months ago, we had actually gotten up to just under 950 a bushel at the Gulf. That's our red line. You know, if you think about it in car terms, that's the RPM red line for 7,000 is that 950 cash price at the Gulf. We're back down to around 820 to 835 right now. So we've lost well over a dollar in the Gulf price at the corn in the CIF NOLA, and we still haven't picked up that Gulf demand. It's been instead Brazilian corn and feed wheat from some of the other competing countries.
Let me ask you a different question about that. Does that have anything at all, and I don't know whether it does or doesn't, to do with the low levels and barge traffic on the upper Mississippi River?
I think it has a little bit to do with it, but I think if that were the case, you would have seen the interior basis levels fall as well. And what I saw this week was the interior basis, you know, on the river and Decatur. Decatur really shot up this week, especially late in the week, and whether that's because of low yields, whether that's because of aflatoxin, you know, you don't know at this point, but I would think that if the Gulf market was weaker because of low river levels, then the interior would be getting backed up as well, and they especially wouldn't want any more corn brought in, and they would be forced to back off their basis as well. That's how I kind of looked at it. But there's some issues with the transportation costs. I was talking to a client who trucks, and the trucking costs are really starting to get higher and higher and higher now, and it makes sense because the rail traffic and the ship traffic and the traffic on the rivers with the barges are probably starting to push a lot more freight back into the trucks and the highways. And so I think maybe there is some issue with the basis there, but I would think the interior would have something to do with that too.
on Monday, USDA out of Illinois, the NAS office reported that the southwestern district of the state was in the midst of harvest and was moving along much more quickly than had, well, not I don't know about anticipated, but was moving quickly. But when you talk to producers, some of that harvest is not very good, and then a lot of it is simply either for silage because they don't have enough to feed the animals there, and or there's simply nothing to harvest. What are you hearing from the worst hits parts of the Midwest, southern Indiana, southern Illinois?
The exact same thing. I think that the point of this whole next 2 to 3 weeks would be that until, I think Labor Day is the time period that I have expected and that clients that I work with expect from, whether you're talking about from Springfield, Illinois, or the Missouri-Illinois border, or the Kansas-Missouri border even, all the way from St. Joe, Missouri to Indianapolis, I think that the Labor Day holiday weekend is when we'll really be getting into the gut shot of harvest. It'll be 2 to 3 weeks early, then we'll really be running by the Labor Day holiday. Between now and Labor Day, though, it sure seems to me that you're going to have a lot more bad stories than good stories. And this is probably where the Pro Farmer Crop Tour becomes a much more relevant issue than in the past. The Ohio AgNet has been doing their own Ohio Crop Tour this past week, and I just sent out a bunch of information to the clients and producers and the media people that I work with about what they've seen the last 2 days. I'm struck by the better-than-expected yields that they see in the fields in Ohio. Some of the fields that I've been in as of a month ago, I thought Ohio had a chance to do well, and eastern Indiana did as well, but not as well as this tour is starting to project. So pro farmer, to me, becomes an issue of, okay, do we have a very pretty decent, very good almost eastern Corn Belt that then goes into a train wreck in the central Corn Belt, and then we start to shake off the train wreck and get a little bit better as we get into the western Corn Belt. And I think that's where the trade, not just the investors and the speculators and the spread traders, but especially the end users, are probably going to try and glean as much as they can from the regional output of what Pro Farmer shows next week.
And it's probably important to remember the path that they take on that goes through the primary and better producing areas of all of those states. Starts, I think, around the northwestern corners, most of it anyway.
Yes.
Of Ohio, and then through Indianapolis, Champaign, Urbana, and then you start making a turn heading towards Rock Island, Moline, and
yep.
and then
all those areas that the Ring of Fire showers happen this year. Exactly. You make a huge point, but I think that's a point that has to be brought up as we get into next week's price action, is if the wheat and the beans decide to go flatline and we get negative information out of the corn. This would be the time period between now and the Labor Day gut shot of harvest that I'm talking about. If we would have a break to the downside, I think feeders need to be really on red alert to start getting some needs booked for the post-harvest time period.
In all sectors of the livestock?
Yes, I think in all sectors of the livestock. At this point in time, they're all vying for the exact same production and limited supply, and I think that's where I would like to get the futures locked in early and do that first on a futures break, and then once we get to the Labor Day time period and really ramp up the harvest, maybe have a little bit of widening of basis and then lock in the basis at that point as well.
Anything else to talk about before I let you go for the day?
Cattle on feed report was mostly neutral. Markings were a little bit low, and crude oil. We opened up or talked about opening up the SPR today from the Obama administration, Todd, but the result of that was the highest high since mid-May in lead month crude oil. So from a macroeconomic standpoint, gasoline prices, meat prices, not the prettiest picture you can paint from a standpoint of what we're going to have to be dealing with in terms of what we'll have to spend here going into the fourth quarter. So keep in mind that overall consumption, overall gross domestic product, does bleed back into what we buy and sell in grains.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good weekend.
Hey, you too. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, wishing me a good weekend a little early because Mike will be on our Commodity Week program this afternoon. We'll record at 4:30. Wayne Nelson will be in on that one as well. Joe Vaklevic of Standard Grain out of Chicago will be our guest. Commodity Week is our weekly look at what happened in the world of agriculture. We'll post it to the website at about 6 p.m. this evening, probably just a bit before that. You can always pick it up online at willag.org. While you're there, don't forget to sign up for that free weekend newsletter. Dave Dickey does a great job of writing it, and it will be posted out soon, too, I'm quite certain, over on the right-hand side of the page at willag.org. www.ChicagoFoodCenter.org. In just a couple moments, I'll be back and we'll take a look at what the Secretary of Agriculture has to say about the state of Illinois and the conditions that have led to all of the counties, 102 of them, being declared a disaster area.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Did you know that every county in Illinois has been added to the list of primary disaster areas due to the drought? That comes after the recent addition of counties in the northern part of the state. The U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack spoke with WUIS's Rachel Otwell about what that means for the state of Illinois.
I would say Illinois and Indiana and Ohio are states that have been severely impacted when you look at the number of counties in those states that have been on the drought monitor for a considerable period of time. It is obvious that this has hit those states very hard. Having said that, there are states like Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas who not only have had a problem this year but had problems in the past, and so it's a continuation of a drought situation for them. And it just it depends. In Iowa, some parts of Iowa have been hit very, very hard, and other parts were fortunate and were not impacted as severely.
Are you able to predict at all as to how long these counties will remain in this disaster status?
No, I think it just depends on weather patterns. And you know, we've had sporadic rains during the month of August, which have been helpful to some producers and their bean crops. Probably not a whole lot of help for the corn crop, which is why we are constantly looking for ways in which we can provide help and assistance, not just to crop producers, but also livestock producers. And now that we've used virtually all of our tools in the immediate concerns, disaster loan assistance, opening up CRP land, more flexibility with our conservation programs, we're now beginning to ask the question, what is likely going to be the long-term impact of this drought, and how can we best prepare for what may occur next year as a result? You know, part of this is also complicated by the fact that the House of Representatives has not yet finished its work on the Food, Farm, and Jobs bill, and so there's a lot of uncertainty about what the farm programs are actually going to be next year. Which is why the President and I have been calling on the House to finish its work in September and get that bill to the President's desk before September 30th.
There seems to be a worry that the drought will affect food prices, that they'll go up. Is that something that's happening or that we should be worried about?
Obviously, we'll be faced with some increased prices in the future, but we're only expecting food inflation to be somewhere between 3 and 4% next year. And to give you a sense of this historical perspective, food inflation generally is in the neighborhood of 3%. So we're not talking about a significant increase in food costs as a result of the drought. And the reason being that farmers get so little of the food dollar to begin with. They only get 14 cents of every food dollar that goes to a grocery store on average. And so because they get so little of it, commodity prices can go up quite a bit and still not have that much of a profound impact on overall food costs.
Can you tell us what effect the drought is having on our exports? Obviously, corn's a big one for us.
Well, that's a good question, and I think basically all markets are basically adjusting to the reality of having a crop that is less than anticipated. The interesting thing about the crop is that even with the drought, based on current estimates, we're looking at almost 11 billion bushels of corn being produced in the United States, which would put it in the top 10 corn crops in the history of the country. Having said that, there's a lot of demand for the crop, and so what we're seeing is the market's adjusting. Livestock feed, we now anticipate we'll probably use 750 million fewer bushels than we anticipated just 2 months ago to feed livestock. We think that the exports will likely be down by roughly 600 million bushels than what we expected just 2 months ago. Even though exports generally in agriculture will still be strong because we're continuing to sell a good deal of protein around the world, so we'd expect perhaps the second best export year we've ever had. And we also expect that ethanol production, as we see some of the ethanol producers are beginning to ramp down their production, And we would expect to use probably 500 million bushels fewer bushels of corn in ethanol production. So nearly 2 billion bushels fewer than anticipated just 2 months ago. And so the market is already adjusting.
What does this mean for the average Illinois resident? And is there anything we can do to combat the effects of living in a state that is hurting from the lack of rainfall?
Well, I think they first of all need to be sensitive to their friends and neighbors who live in rural areas who depend on a crop for their livelihood and basically understand that this is a tough and stressful time for farmers and ranchers around the country. You know, as we talked about before, they may see lower food costs for chicken and for beef and for pork in the short term, and they may see a little slightly higher increased costs next year in part because of the drought. There is an effort by some to amend the renewable fuel standard, and it's important to note that that biofuel industry in the United States is giving consumers in Illinois and across the country a break at the pump. As we see rising gas prices, they would be a lot higher were it not for the biofuel industry, anywhere from 25 cents a gallon, one study suggests, to perhaps as much as $1.37 less per gallon, based on another study I've seen. So they're getting a benefit to pump, and we obviously don't want to interfere with that because we're all concerned about making sure that gas prices are reasonable.
That was Tom Vilsack talking with Rachel Otwell about the drought affecting Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Let's check the cash grain market on a Friday afternoon. Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce. What's news in your area? Anything?
Oh, right now we're just in the process of kind of waiting for harvest to start.
And how soon do you think that'll happen?
I would expect to see maybe a little bit starting to come in next week. This is some of the really early planted corn that's drying down. But that's just going to be pecking at it. I think it'll just going to progressively roll from there. And by the first week in September, get past Labor Day, and we'll be in it for real.
Have farmers been out again to see whether the rainfall has helped out grain fill, what they're thinking about both for corn and soybeans?
Corn is a non-event now. We're too far along. Soybeans, I think we probably did some improvement. I don't know if we had, 1.5 to 2-inch rains yesterday. I don't know if it's that so much as the 2/10 quarter-inch stuff we had the first couple weeks in the month that to just give beans enough of a shot to fill some pods.
And basis has been doing what in your area?
A mixed bag. Beans have been sliding off as we get closer to new crop. I really expect with beans we've seen maybe one or two little basis pops in here as a processor might come in and need to get some coverage. Earlier in the week, the SIF market popped up pretty good to get a little coverage on. Corn continues to stay pretty aggressive. We don't have as much old crop, new crop spread, but we're still looking, 11 to 15 over the D's for quick shipment.
And what are your bids for the day?
We're 822 for delivery by the 15th on corn and beans, 1684 for August, 1636 new.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Bruce Bostard. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Friday afternoon. Back in just a couple of minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey.
It's National Rum Day. The origins of rum date back to antiquity. Fermented drinks produced from sugarcane may have first occurred in either ancient India or China. The first distillation of rum took place on sugarcane plantations in the Caribbean in the 17th century. On this day in agricultural history in 1888, John Pemberton died. Pemberton was the pharmacist who invented Coca-Cola in 1885. At first, it was a tonic, French wine cola. Later, he modified the formula by omitting the alcohol and adding other vegetable essences. The new syrup was meant to be a cure for headaches. Pemberton sold the recipe, equipment, and machinery to manufacture the drink for just $1,200. In 1899, Robert Bunsen died, a German chemist. He discovered each element emits a light of characteristic wavelength. He also made a number of improvements in chemical batteries. In 1904, Wendell Stanley was born. A Spanish-American biochemist, he shared the 1946 Nobel Prize for Chemistry for his work in the purification and crystallization of viruses. And in 1973, Selman Waksman died, an American biochemist. He was one of the world's foremost authorities on soil microbiology. He discovered the antibiotic streptomycin, the first specific antibiotic effective against tuberculosis. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for Friday afternoon. On the phone line, Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey to take a look at what's been happening in the world of the weather forecast. Thanks so much for taking the time with us this afternoon, Jim.
Hi, Todd.
Well, as state climatologist, I have to ask you, have we been in the midst of a drought buster change in the weather forecast?
I'm in a little better mood. Let's put it that way. I think things are a little more optimistic. We've had a couple of shots of rain here in August, and we've had some cooler temperatures as well. That's probably helped out. And so, yeah, we had some pretty good rains over yesterday, basically from about Peoria through Bloomington and Champaign, and another band along I-70 and between there and I-64. So we had some areas of the state that got some pretty good rain out of this. However, much of western Illinois, much of northern Illinois pretty much missed out on this batch. So, looking at things like soil moisture, it certainly helps to get 1 or 2 inches of rain. It probably has recharged the top 2 to 4 inches, and you kind of see that in the grass. The grass has turned a little greener. But as far as agriculture impact, it's probably a little too late for the corn. And as you guys were talking earlier, probably some benefit to the soybeans, but it's too bad we couldn't have got this sooner.
Second-handedly, from one of our brokers, an old-timer was suggesting that the first couple of weeks of August it usually rains and then it shuts back off again. I know that that's what the National Weather Service is predicting in the 30s and the 90-day forecast. What do you think?
Well, it's very possible. In fact, if you look even on the shorter term, over the weekend and early next week, there really isn't any opportunities for any kind of precipitation over the next 7 days or so. We're going to be dominated by the cooler, drier Canadian air that's moved into the region. So it looks pretty quiet for at least the near term. And yet, it's right, the new forecast came out from the National Weather Service on September, calling for September to be increased chance of above normal temperatures and below normal precipitation. And the same story for their 3 month outlook for September through November, increased chance of above normal temperatures. And they're pretty neutral on their precipitation forecast. They're not going either way on that one. So we'll probably see the continuation of warm temperatures. Now, warm temperatures in September means something different than July, so I don't think it'll be quite so scorching hot.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
I think that's it.
Okay. Thanks, Jim.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is at the Illinois State Water Survey. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Friday afternoon. My thanks ahead of time to Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, who will be handling the Closing Market Report in Commodity Week next week, as I'll be out on our Follow the Corn bus tour headed towards New Orleans to see Dan Swicker and John Bondurant. If you're going along for the ride, I look forward to seeing you at 7:30 a.m. on Monday morning. You have a great weekend. I'm Todd Gleason. That's the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.